the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. 1072.
Thank you. read two portions from God's Word. Firstly, from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7. The second book of Samuel, chapter 7. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why did ye not build me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant, For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things, to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel, to be a people unto thee for ever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it for ever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified for ever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found it in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue for ever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. And now let us turn to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. May the Lord bless his word to help us to pray. O thou almighty and most high and holy Lord God, we once more come to thy house. Lord, we wouldn't come out of tradition, but we do pray that we might be given the Holy Ghost, that once more we might come up in the Spirit of thy house, and that there might be a true receiving of thy word into our hearts. Oh, we do pray there might be good ground here this night, Only thou canst make our hearts good ground, Lord. And we pray to be such, and that thy precious word might enter in, and that it might abide, and that it might bring forth fruit. Lord, we're such needy people. We can't keep ourselves alive. We can't keep ourselves seeking, hoping, longing. And we need thee, Lord, to lift us up and lead us after thee. Oh, thou hast the words of eternal life. We pray that thou wilt speak to us those words again tonight. And let our souls live that they might praise thee, the God of heaven. Oh, may we have cause to bless thee and to thank thee and to praise thee, from whom all blessings flow. And could it please thee there might be a note of praise even this day to a God so merciful and so kind and gracious. Lord, we would come before thee then into thy house. Make it the house of God to us this night. We pray to be made nigh to thee. We would plead that sacrifice for sin. Even thy all-atoning blood, Lord Jesus. And oh, we do plead with thee for living faith in that blood. May it speak for us in heaven. Lord, do bless thy people. Thou seest the case of thy people here, how they are found, the state of their souls before thee, the needs of their lives. We do pray that thy Spirit might work here. Pour out thy Spirit upon thy dear people. May there be those here made seekers, those here stirred up to be really seeking thee, wanting to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, may there be those here who find, have that which they long for, captive souls released. Lord, thou canst do it. Thou seest all the work of Satan, all the work of sin. Oh, may he not prevail over us. May not these things prevail over us. But we do pray that thy gospel, yes, the entrance of thy word giveth light. May it be so. Help us, Lord, to look to thee. Scatter all our unbelief and fear. May we see one who is mighty. And Lord, we do what we pray for here. We do desire to pray for all thy people throughout Zion and for our own cause at home. Lord, do look in mercy and compassion upon precious never-dying souls. Oh, we do long that thou should suffer one and another to come to thee. Oh, how many, Lord, we ache over and long for. Lord, that thou wilt do it for thy name's sake. Oh, we long, Lord, to see thy work appear. Lord, a godly concern, a real exercise. And we do beseech thee that thou wilt do it. And Lord, some we know have left thy house. And some have wandered far away. And Lord, we pray for them that thou wilt bring them back. Could it please thee to bring them into want, that they might not be satisfied where they are. Give them an aching void the world could never fill, and bring them back to seek thee. Lord, bring them back with their face towards Zion, hungry and thirsty, and longing for thee. Lord, we each need that grace. Oh, so do hear us. Lord, we pray for all thy servants, wherever they are found in thy name this night. Lord, whatever situation, we pray for them. Do strengthen and help them. Do uphold them. But our great desire, Lord, is that thy word might not return to thee void, but that it might run and have free course and be glorified. May it run, Lord. Could it please thee then to send it home to the case of thy people? And may there be none who go out the doors of this place without something, their case touched, help given. Oh, is it anything too hard for thee? Thou canst speak the word. Thou canst give the desire of living souls. We do pray that thou wilt. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Oh, how often thy people plead thy name. And Lord, we pray, do it for thy name's sake. Oh, could it please thee, for thy faithfulness, for thy mercy. Lord, we would once more desire to bear before thee the deacons of this place and each church member. Do be with them. Oh, may they each be of one heart and one mind in the Lord. Let brotherly love continue, and do build them up, and do help them to continue, and give them what they look for and long for here at Swaversey. Thou knowest the exercise of the church here and what they are passing through. We do pray that thou wilt give them what they look for, what they desire. Lord, do care for this people. Oh, be a father to them. Do bless each family found here, each soul found here. We would thank thee once more for the harvest and thy faithfulness in sending suitable weather. And Lord, we thank thee for all temporal mercies to us. How kind thou art in supplying our need. Lord, a bountiful hand. We do pray for those who are not so privileged in other countries or even in our own land. We pray for them. And Lord, we do pray for those corners of the earth, dark corners, some places where thy people are persecuted and hounded. We pray for them, that thou wilt be their help. And Lord, thou seest us in our own land, many mercies, many privileges, but help us to be faithful. Help us to stand fast, for there still are many enemies, much to hinder, much to bring thy church to nothing. And Lord, we pray for thy power. There might be still a remnant in our land. And do restrain those in authority, that they might not be permitted to also undermine thy word and cast out the truth. We pray above all that thy kingdom come and thy people be blessed. Lord, we all do look to thee for grace, look to thee for help. And Lord, we come very conscious of our vast need this night, that we are sinners. We are sinners in thy sight, and we desire to humble ourselves before thee. And do thou pray, oh, do not deal with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities, but save us for thy mercy's sake. Oh, do hear us. Be with preacher and people tonight. Do touch one's mouth. Do touch each of our hearts. May there be something in season for thy people. Do help us. We cry unto thee, Lord and Saviour, as we plead it for thy name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 998. Ye prisoners of hope, overwhelmed with grief, to Jesus look up for certain relief. There's no condemnation in Jesus the Lord, but strong consolation his grace does afford. 998.
Let us turn in God's word to the second book of Samuel, chapter 23 and verse 5. The second book of Samuel, chapter 23 and verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. I wonder how many here this evening can say, truth, Lord, regarding this statement. Although my house be not so with God. Yes, a great grief to the people of God. They are not what they would be. They are not what they ought to be. But I believe it was Newton who said, but they are not what they used to be. Yes, but you see, the great grief of the people of God, it is the grief of their indwelling sin. Oh, this wretched man that I am, this body of sin and death. And all at times we can see nothing more than that corruption which is found in us by nature. And we cry, oh, my house, be not so with God. Oh, a place, dry bones, dead men's bones. Nothing good dwells here. Oh, is there any good thing here? Yes, although my house be not so with God. Now this dear man David, he the dear man whom God raised up on high, he found it so with himself. Yes, this dear man. And was there anything but grace in the life of this man? He was the man that God raised up on high. God took him from the sheepcote, from following the sheep. Yes, a man not well known. And God set him up on high. He lifted him up. He set him up on high. And he anointed him to be king over Israel, over his people Israel. And oh, we can see nothing but grace in this appointment. The Lord's great kindness to this man. You see, it was God's sovereignty. He chose that man. He did not look as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh upon the heart. He chose this man out of all the tribes and in the midst of all his brethren. And he anointed him king over Israel in his great goodness and kindness towards him. He was a man after God's own heart. God set his love upon him. It was God's will that he should be raised up. And we read in the chapter, we read in that seventh chapter, all the Lord's kindness towards him. And how he speaks to him regarding his house. Yes, and we see such mercy here, do we not? He said that his mercy would not depart away from his house, as he took it away from Saul. And he promised that he would establish his house. And we find David here. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. And it was the Lord's great mercy. It was grace alone. He setteth down one and lifteth up another. The sovereignty of God. He passes by some, and yet others, all he passes by and says, live. And we find it so with David. It was nothing but grace that God chose his house. He cast away the house of Saul, and he chose to establish the house of David. He set his love upon the house of David, and he gave him a promise that the fruit of his womb would sit upon the throne, and that he would establish his kingdom with his son Solomon, whom he promised would be raised up in his stead. We read of Solomon, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel his days." Solomon was raised up, and the kingdom was to be established in his hands. And this kingdom was to continue, as it were, an everlasting kingdom, for it would issue in the usher in the birth of Jesus Christ, who would sit on the throne of David. And the Lord in his mercy blessed the house of David with this promise. And yet poor David, all the many things that his house passed through. You see, did he not then sin with Bathsheba? And from thence on he saw many things amiss in his household. And we find immediately one Amnon, who laying with his sister Tamar, and brought confusion upon the house, a reproach upon David's house. And then we find one Absalom, stirred up in wrath, who gets vengeance on his brother, and we find the sword enters into David's house. There is murder in his household. And then later on, we find another one of his sons causing trouble, Adonijah. And all these things in his household, yes, threatened to bring in this promise that God had given, that it would be Solomon, that his seed would continue with. And he can say here, as he comes down to his last days, especially in his last days, there was that with Adonijah who sought to take the kingdom. Yet, and he had to say here, although my house be not so with God, although everything by outward appearance, everything seems to be going against that which God had promised, that which God had ordered, yet he says, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. You see David here, coming down now to his last days, he could see by faith, and he believed the Lord. He believed what God had spoken. And we find it so with many of the saints of God. Despite all outward appearance, despite everything going contrary, yet many have been blessed with a faith that can look beyond outward circumstances. Yes, we think of especially Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. and he believed his son could even be raised from the dead when God told him he should go and offer him up upon Mount Moriah. Yes, believing that he was even able to raise him from the dead. Yes, and he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Oh, what a blessed thing it would be if we possessed such a faith, such a hope. We can see many things in our lives which we really feel to be wrong, out of place. We cannot see how it can be amongst the all things ordered, the things that work together for good. And yet, the Lord has said that he has made an everlasting covenant. And if we're given the grace and the faith to see this, faith to be able to look over all our trouble, to be able to see this everlasting covenant, oh, it will calm all our fears. It will take all our fears away. We will know a peace that passeth all understanding. And we will be able to leave all things with him, to commit everything into his hands, and to trust his counsel, his way, his word. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, an everlasting covenant. Now we do desire to come here, for I believe I've seen something in this word which is very precious. We've spoken about Solomon. We've spoken about him establishing the kingdom after his father David. And we haven't mentioned this, that he also, God also promised that he would build him a house. And yet we see a greater than Solomon here. God has delivered all things into the hand of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is who we read of in that Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus Christ himself referred to that text. Yes, that David called him Lord. And you see, really, David's kingdom was established, this everlasting covenant, in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And this is what makes it an everlasting covenant. And this is where the power, the glory, and the dominion rest. It is on his shoulders. The government is upon his shoulders. And this is why it is an everlasting covenant, because God has established it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace, and priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham. Yes, our Lord Jesus is made like unto him. And he sits a king in glory this day. He sits and the kingdom of grace is established in him. The Lord has all things sure and certain in him. And there are no uncertainties in our Lord Jesus, as we spoke this morning of that rock, which is Christ. All the whole church rests upon him. And he, as Solomon was instructed, he will see that he will build his church. As Solomon was instructed to build that temple, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have many precious things in Scripture which speak of this. Here in Zechariah we read, "Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." O Jesus Christ, he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is why it is called an everlasting covenant. You see, this was set up from everlasting, that God the Son should take upon himself the form of a real man, a real body, a real nature, that he would suffer those awful agonies, that he would provide a salvation for his church. And it is sure in him. You see, the church stands in him. We rest in him. What his work is, what he has done for needy sinners. And this is why it is an everlasting covenant. Or do you know anything of what it is to be found in that building, that house that he is building for his praise? You see, the Apostle Peter spoke of we being as lively stones, built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And that the Lord will, in his mercy, prepare a people for his praise. And he will build his church, because they are in the everlasting covenant. Yes, neither sin, nor death, nor hell can overthrow this covenant. He will build his church. So we read of this one called the branch. He will build his temple. Whose house are we? Oh, what a mercy it is if we know anything the Lord has ever spoken to us. The Lord has ever made known to us anything of this everlasting covenant. Has the Lord ever sealed upon your heart any precious promise? Has he given you any witness? Anything spoken to you that has caused you to hope you are found in this covenant? You may have to cry when you feel overwhelmed. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. For you often will feel that your house is not so with God. You will often feel that, oh, if only I had not of myself. And yet what a mercy it is if God has ever spoken to us. If any promise has found a place in our hearts. You see, those who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Everlasting love. The Lord said, he appeared unto old of me, unto me and said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Have you known those drawings? Have you known those spots and places where he has drawn near? Or have you have those places like David, where you can raise up your Ebenezer? Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. And you have a hope that the Lord will help you. He who hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. You see, there's a yet in this word. A blessed yet. Despite all our sin, despite all that we have done, we must remember that this covenant does not rest with us. It's not like the covenant of works that God made with Adam. Which covenant he break? But this covenant is made between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and can never break. Who can break a threefold cord? There is something here which can never break, never come to an end, because it is everlasting love. And God has confirmed it by an oath. He has sworn it so. And we read that in Hebrews, that the Lord has sworn it so. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Oh, what a blessed hope. All established in the counsel and oath of God. Yes, and if we are found in this everlasting covenant, all things will be ordered and all things will be sure for us. Here and hereafter in glory. What a blessed prospect for the people of God. Yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Or we come here then, all things and sure. I wonder how many here can truly believe this, that he has ordered all my ways. Everything about our circumstances, our family, the Church of God, our own soul, the dispensations we are passing through, that it is all ordered by God. You think of Job. What an unlikely character to think that his pathway was ordered. What terrible things that man had to pass through when God withheld his blessing and he had to pass through many deep waters and trials and troubles. Why, everything seemed to be taken from him. His herds, his camels, his children, and then his health and strength. Everything seemed to be taken from that man. But that man, although he uttered many things which were perhaps hasty, in deep waters, yet he could say, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I will come forth as gold. Oh, what a blessed faith that man possessed. At length he could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He saw the covenant then. He saw an everlasting covenant then. But at times the people of God do pass through such deep waters that they lose sight of the covenant, and they do not realise that every circumstance has been ordered by the Lord in that covenant. Do we believe this? Whatever our lot is in life, whatever crook is God in our lot, have we got the faith to believe that he's ordered it for us? Because he has. It's all part of his everlasting covenant. And that the things concerning you have an end. You see, he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Yet he does it for his name's sake, for his glory, and for his people's good. Yes, though he cause grief. Did Job say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? Oh, although my house be not so with God, although so much is against me, although the Lord's hand seems to have gone out against me, he's turned everything upside down. But did not Hannah say, the Lord killeth, the Lord maketh alive, and the Lord bringeth down to the grave, the Lord lifteth up? Yes, we have to go through some very solemn things. And David had to go through solemn things, did he not? But what does it make us prove at length? That we do not get to heaven by our own counsel, our own strength, our own wisdom, our own understanding. We have to realize in the end that it is by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is where we have to come to in the end, is it not? How many of our troubles are the fruit of sin, as it was with David? Oh, how many, maybe the fathers here have to look with David upon your own house. Have to say with David, although my house be not so with God. But there are many things in our lives which we perhaps can see, oh, God sent that, all because of that sin. He sent that as a judgment against me, to bring me back, to show me that I'd erred and strayed. Yes, we have to see these things at times. We have to see these things. And that God will show to us at times that solemnly our hearts are prone to depart from our God. But he has said, from all your idols will I cleanse you. And he will at length make you to see that everything he has sent, although it be perhaps a reproof, a rebuke, a chastening, a judgment, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. You see, with Job there was that said by God, was there not? Yes, the devil was permitted to touch much in his life, but he was not permitted to touch his life. God told Satan he could not touch his life. And you'll find that if you are a true believer, that although the Lord perhaps suffer you to pass through deep waters, times of temptation, times of trial, yes, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, although he have you go through these things, yet he will not give you over unto Satan. What did he say to Peter? I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. You see, although much in our circumstance might be against us, the Lord might touch many things in our lives to spoil our pride and to bring us down, yet he will preserve your life. He'll preserve your soul. What a precious thing that is which the psalmist spoke there. Oh, in that psalm, I do love that psalm. 121. The Lord says, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Though the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." What a blessed thing it is if we are amongst those souls. Yes, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Oh, that is when we prove that we have a real faith, is it not? It's not in times of comfort, times where things are going very well and all seems very rosy. And no, often we prove we have a true living faith in the midst of the fire. This is where God will try our faith. This is where God will prove it to be genuine in the midst of a true fire, a trouble comes upon us. You think of David here then, all that trouble upon him, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Oh, what a blessed hope, what a blessed faith this man possessed. Oh, do we possess it? Ordered in all things and sure. Every circumstance. The Lord Jesus spoke, did he not, that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. Yes, and about those sparrows. The Lord knows when one of those sparrows fall to the ground, does he not? The Lord has respect to the very smallest of our circumstances. The very smallest. And he speaks, "Hear, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They spin not, toil not, neither do they spin." You see, and he says, "Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Even the little things in your life are ordered by him. We can get into a state where we do not really bring before the Lord the little things of our lives. We don't really believe that the little things are in the covenant as well as the big things. But you see, everything is ordered by the Lord. Every day that we live, every hour that we live, nothing's a mistake in his sight. You see, even evil is ordered by the Lord, because he permits it. In his sovereignty, nothing goes, as it were, without his knowledge, his wisdom. And perhaps you may have those who are your enemies, evil stirred up against you from one quarter or another. Even these are ordered by God. You see, we have to pass through at times so many solemn things. But it's all ordered by God, and it's all in the everlasting covenant. And as we said, the little things, your daily concerns, things that crop up. Oh, take it to him. Take it to him. Nothing passes without his knowledge. His wisdom, his knowledge is unsearchable. We can bring it to him. All believing that it is ordered by him. So he says, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure and sure. Oh, it's sure, it stands firm. Yes, as a nail in a sure place, the Lord has commanded. Yes, and it shall be done. The word has gone out of his mouth. He hath made this everlasting covenant. It is ordered, and it is sure. For this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. You see, sometimes in the Lord's dealings with his people, he will give them a promise, a word to hope upon. And yet we found here, although he make it not to grow. And this can be perhaps in various circumstances of our lives. We have had various promises, have we not? Various words which of course is the hope. And yet he make it not to grow. There seems to be no fruit coming out. It's seeming the door seems shut. And we have to cry with Jeremiah, I am shut up. I cannot come forth. Yes, he make it not to grow. Doesn't seem to give you that liberty. It doesn't seem to give you that grace which you so desire. Now we read this in Habakkuk. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's the same spirit as dear David here, the God of his salvation. This is all my salvation. This is all my salvation. Yes, here you would lie. Here you would look and look again. Oh, was it not Peter when so many forsook the Lord and went away, offended at him, who said, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We are sure that thou art the Christ. And you see, if you've been blessed with the true life of God in your soul, you will stay here. You will keep looking. You will keep waiting. You will keep watching. You will say, this is all my salvation. This is all my salvation. It must come from the covenant. It must come from the love of God. It must come from him. If I'm to endure, if I'm to get that promise, oh, it must come from God. And so it makes you wait, and you lie at his feet. Although you feel to be a dead dog, like that poor Syrophoenician woman who came and sunk low at the feet of Jesus. Oh, a very low place that woman came to. She had to be a dog. She had to beg crumbs. But Jesus did not despise her. Although he made her wait, and as it were spoke things very hard to receive. Yet it did not turn her away. This is all my salvation. I've been everywhere else, Lord. Yes, that woman who fell down and touched the hem of his garment, the issue of blood. Been everywhere else, have found no cure. This is all my salvation. It's all my hope. You venture wholly on him. All the hand goes out. Yes, if I perish, I shall perish. If I perish, I'll perish here. I'll perish at the feet of Jesus. Because I know there's no other hope. He is all my salvation. Oh, this is the place where I'll come. Yes, although many despise me, though many scorn me for all my poverty and uncleanness and vileness, this is where I'll come. Jesus is all my salvation. You see, those poor folk who came to Jesus, they weren't offended in him. Jesus said, "Blessed are they, whomsoever shall not be offended in me." They were not offended in Jesus, were they? Oh, this is all my salvation. They had to venture bankrupt, having had tried many things. That woman tried many physicians. There was that one who lay at the pool of Bethesda. Oh, and he could in no wise go down to that pool and put himself in. Yes, such folk as that, they know that this Jesus is all their salvation. You see, the feeling of poverty, nakedness, destitution creates, does it not, an appetite for the grace, the salvation which is in Jesus Christ. All this is what put life into our prayers, is it not? Yes, this is what keeps us seeking, keeps us looking. It's because we're so poor, we're so hell deserving. Yes, our house is not so with God. Yes, this is all my salvation. This is all my salvation, all my desire, all my desire. He knows your desires. Yes, he hears your groanings. The Lord hears your groanings. Yes, your groanings are not hid from him. His ear is open to your cry, sinner. You who cannot lift up yourself, who feel that your prayers perhaps don't go beyond the ceiling. Yes, doesn't have to be a great prayer. Doesn't have to be anything eloquent, clever. No, what the Lord requires is one to come to him, looking to him alone. That's all he requires. And he gives that grace. He gives that grace. My friends, it is as we said, by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is grace from beginning to last. Yes, this is all my salvation and all my desire. You who have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you who have had a taste of this covenant, you can say this, that this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow, although everything seems to be barren, unfruitful, doesn't blossom, everything seems to fail, and yet you can say this is all your desire. This is all your desire. If only I have a part in that covenant, just a small part, and if only I might find a place at last in glory, Ah, that is all my desire. Although there's so much amiss, and I can't call myself great, don't feel to be fruitful like others. Yes, I don't seem to be godly like others, faithful like others. No. And yet, my friends, you are found here. Yes, this is all my salvation, all my desire. You are found in the right place, in the right place. We want all things to come from an everlasting covenant. All things to come. With the people of God, it will be so. It will be so. And I'm sure there are those here who can look back over their lives, can see how the Lord has kindly ordered their way, can see how the Lord has appeared to them and helped them. They can see those spots and places where Jesus has drawn near and gone with them, where he's revealed himself to them. Yes. What's it done? What's it done? It's won their heart, is it not? We love him because he first loved us. Everlasting love all creates everlasting love. And you will not be offended in him. You won't go from him. Even though you're so destitute, nothing seems to grow. Your house does not seem to be so with God. And yet, as we were speaking at the beginning, my friend, all our cause, the house of God, the church of Christ, is in the hand of Jesus Christ. We read here these precious words, and he shall bring forth a headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. Yes, he will complete his work. He will complete his work in the earth, both in your life, believer, and in his church. Yes, this everlasting covenant is ordered in all things and sure. Even the earthly church, the church, his church on earth, the Lord will make sure that his house is built and it will be established forever, because it's under an everlasting covenant. Yes, you will then have to say, although my house be not so with God. And yet we read these words. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yes, your earthly situation, your earthly house, might not be so with God. Yet it will not always be so. Will not always be so. God is preparing a place for you. He has got a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. David knew it. This man knew it. He who here was coming down to his last days, the sweet psalmist of Israel, his house was not so with God. Yet he believed in the everlasting covenant, that there would be a house not made with hands, that which was out of his hands entirely. See, it is God's work. Yes, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But may the Lord then encourage us with this word. Despite what we feel to be, despite the circumstance we are found to be in, despite then perhaps many promises not being fulfilled, many words which we have hoped upon lie dead in his word, yet all to believe he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Oh, get one sight of that everlasting covenant. That one covenant made with Jesus Christ. It will calm all your fear. Oh, it will take away all fear. Oh, this is where we desire to look, is it not? Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. May the Lord help us to look there. May he bless his word. For his name's sake, amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £670, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 720. Endless blessings on the Lamb, broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. 720.
gracious, merciful God, do pardon our sins and infirmities this day. Do bless thine own word of truth. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.